The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States
heavyweight. Look here,
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, he's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? This guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
competitors. About hypnosis. Let's get told.
Psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Hey, it's Tuesday.
You know what that means.
Yeah, we're going to talk wrestling on a show that a lot of people just like, why is it still coming on? Like, watch it. We watch it and we discuss it so that you can, you know, for like, you know, J to the Max and Jula, you know, we do this for them.
Yeah,
and
we go through that so you don't have to go through that.
Yes. So, yeah, that's what we do.
We're brought to you by the CSPN. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, all the normal places you can listen to podcasts. All you have to do is search for The Razzlecast - the CSPN and subscribe to the logo with a new day holding the Razzlecast sign, and you'll get the Rawcast in your podcast queue each and every week. So as we do every Tuesday at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese for his Mo Meltzer news report.
You know what? This was days ahead, man. I didn't really like, I've been just kind of like just out of it. I really haven't really like paid attention.
There really hasn't been a lot of breaking news actually this week though, because not
it wasn't
showing up on my timeline. I usually catch a headline or two, but right. I hadn't even seen anything.
That really happens after we record, and I'm like, oh, I wait all the way until Tuesday. So the main things is that I guess so. Chelsea Green basically was saying that she had a trash bag. Her trash bag incident too, and I'm guessing when the male superstars get released, like with Matt Cardona, when he was released from the WWE, he didn't get all his stuff in the trash bag.
Oh,
but
really?
The women, he basically was like, he was like, cause I guess he was upset about how she got her, I guess when she got her stuff, and he was like,
right,
in the trash bag. So apparently,
that's his woman. Make it so, like, you know, he gotta stand up for his woman.
Yeah, he'll walk for her.
Right.
But I guess apparently he didn't get his stuff in the trash bag, but she got hers in the trash bag, like kind of like Mickey James did. So, yeah. So it was basically just people not really feeling the WWE at the moment because of how they treat their released talent. You know, it's basically just send the women stuff in a trash bag and say, you know, thanks for your time here. I don't know.
It's been real.
It's been a lot of things, but
I can't wait to talk about, because Mickey James is going to come up again in a little bit.
Oh, she did. She's definitely gonna come up again. Because
people was.
She was the only one feeling some kind of way about something that happened on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Chelsea Green, so apparently her and Steve Cutler were way outside of Vince McMahon's office to try to get a meeting with him. And it got to the point where they were told not to wait for him outside of his office, but to wait in catering. And then eventually they got the meeting with him. And I'm just like, why is it Vince is so paranoid that he don't want nobody? He always talk about grabbing the brass ring. Now, here comes some wrestlers trying to grab the brass ring, but you don't want to hear that idea. You don't want to hear that creative, you know. So, or if you do hear it creative, you pass off to somebody else like it was yours or something.
You know why? Because Steve Cutler and Chelsea Green ain't moving no needles.
Wait, could have moved the needles? Well, for Chelsea Green, they probably could have moved the needle, but Steve Cutler, he was just a forgotten son. So.
Again, Chelsea Green ain't did nothing in NXT enough for her to be able to warrant moving no needle. So yeah, Vince treat
neither did Braun or Elias, but they're getting tired of building on the main roster.
Yeah, they are, only because look at the show they're on. They're on the show with the least amount of star power.
They were on SmackDown 2 at one point in time too.
But that was in a different version of things though. That was in the pre-Paul Heyman SmackDown.
Pre-Paul Heyman, yeah, because definitely Paul Heyman. We always want to say Paul Heyman got some pull over there. And, you know, you can say that it's Bruce and whatever, but Paul Heyman is definitely doing some things over there. I ain't trying to hear otherwise.
Oh, AJ Styles getting Paul Heyman out to paint of Raw was the start of the ending for them. because that, you know what made me think about that was when they showed the highlights of when Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley fought, like last year, was it?
Right. It was like
and they went through the LED board.
They took over in June.
That was the first. That was the first official night he was running Raw. Was that right. Night?
And he said, "You know what? I'm gonna go out with a bang."
Right.
He was like, "Braun and Bobby, I want you to crash with LED boys, and we're gonna blow some shit up."
Right, and then that's when he started. That's when Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza and Andrade and Zelina and the Street Profits and
he was giving us the
and Cedric. Yeah, that's when all of them were starting to bubble up, and it was like, oh, you know what? Damn, we're all starting to push a lot of the black people. And then the next thing you know, Good Brothers and AJ got Bert hurt, and the next thing you know, Paul Heyman's moving. He's no longer in charge of Raw. He's on SmackDown. Well, guess who won the pony?
It's Jim Cornette.
So, you know, that's just the way things happen.
I said, hey, you fucked that up, AJ. That's a card. You played that card, and now look what's going on SmackDown.
Yeah. The island of Reverend. Hey, like he said, I rescued Paul. Now look at him.
look, Paul has no problems acknowledging Roman as the tribal chief.
No. Shit, Paul's been knowing what's going to go down with Roman Reigns since he was 3 years old.
Even before he was born, he was like, even before Roman was born, I knew what it was.
yeah. Because the Wild Samoans kind of got him into the business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's been running around with those, the Anawais and the Fatus for a long, long time, man. Yeah, you know, through WCW, Samoan SWAT team and all that. I mean, Paul is basically like a part of their family.
Right. He's like extended bloodline.
Right.
Okay, so if you're wondering why Kayla Braxton was pulling double duty on Raw this week,
they trying to get the ratings up. Of course, I know why.
Kevin Patrick and his wife welcomed their new baby girl. So,
oh, that's awesome for Kevin Patrick.
Maternity leave.
That's good. Can McKenzie get elevated to Monday Night Raw?
No.
Okay. Because this other girl is no good. The blonde haired girl they have on Monday Night Raw right now, she is no good.
Yeah.
McKenzie is much better.
Yeah. Remember, yeah. But it was good seeing Kayla on Monday night.
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. Because, like I said, they're trying to get the ratings up. I definitely was tuned in.
No wonder they said the ratings. They said the ratings peaked, so hey.
Yeah, more Kayla Braxton. Kayla Braxton equals ratings. That would be a sign that I would take to Monday Night Raw if I, you know, could attend.
Let's see what else. So I could talk these two stories. I'm scrolling past. We could talk about this on the main show, or we talk about Raw. Boy, oh boy, this is, hold on, let me see this. Chris Sabin is going to need surgery. Chris Sabin, Kip Sabin.
So that's the reason why Miro slammed his arm in the door last week, huh?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, so they finally broke that team up?
Yeah, he caught Kip Sabian got caught slipping, and Miro thrashed him. Miro's been looking for him for about 3 weeks because they're trying to build Miro up into this monster who's like finna go after the titles now.
Well, I remember when that happened. I remember when he was a monster in another company, you know.
And when somebody
didn't used to talk, she was just to stay there with her hand in a bun, and she would just, you know, point, and just he would stop.
She had the short skirts with the long legs. Yes, that's mm-hmm. That's still my all time favorite version of Lana.
Wait, so Chelsea Green said that they sent, hold up. Chelsea Green says WWE sent her a trash bag with Natalya's property.
It wasn't even hers. Damn.
She said last week I received a nice big FedEx box at my front door. I got a call the week before, right after I released, and they asked me what my address is. That's crazy. They don't even have your address profile. And they said they had some things to deliver. I thought to myself, that's strange. What could they be possibly delivering? But when I saw the box, I thought maybe I was getting some leftover merch. Who knows? Maybe, or they sending me a present, a little parting gift. Silly me. They're not sending me a parting gift. I opened that box straight in the kitchen, and Matt and I opened it because we're curious. And inside that box was a nice, fresh plastic fucking bag. Full to the brim with shit. Just a bunch of shit. So the box, as you've seen it, if you haven't seen it, the legend, the one and only Mickey James was released from the WWE and posted a picture of this box on Twitter. And she said, we all got boxes. And she said, if I tell you the contents of my box in the garbage bag, I want to make it clear that after talking to all the other females, I believe that every single person who's been released that is a female received this garbage bag. So basically, yeah.
Mark Carano out here trying to be funny, huh?
Mark Carano was definitely on some bullshit. She said she poured out some black boots, and she said some beautiful black boots, but not my black boots. And then she poured out a second pair of black boots, and then again, not her boots. And then she get the third item. It was a gorgeous little leather shrug with studs and diamond earring and diamonds and flappy things and pink jewels and all sorts of things. If you knew women's wrestling, you know the person that wears the black leather with pink is always the same person that's always going to be Natty.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent her some Natty. And they sent her basketball too. So, wow.
Man.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. Sending boxes. Your stuff in a box.
Well, sounds like for anybody else who's going to get released, you need to go ahead and gather up your own things. And
listen, you need to go. You need to make sure you're there and just be like, okay, I'm getting released. Let me get my own shit. Can you send me some shit?
Right.
Whip your ass.
Right. Because it's unfortunate that people have their stuff, you know, sent back to them in these bags and things of that such. But, you know, I guess they were pressed for time.
Oh, here's something. Young Rock is being renewed for a second season.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Knew that after like 3 episodes. I don't know what took so long.
Yeah, but they made it official last week.
Right. I mean, it's probably one of the highest rated shows on NBC for sure.
Okay. Santino Marella shared the picture of his daughter, and he wants WWE to give her a tryout. So,
Santino Marella?
Yeah. No, he shared a picture of his daughter. I was like, oh, okay.
Man, I'm getting old.
Right. I remember folks going Goo Goo Gaga over Mick Foley's daughter, Noelle.
Yeah, Noelle. Yeah.
Yeah. So Stars has a show called Heels. It's a pro wrestling drama. I think CM Punk will be on the show as well.
Is AEW filing a copyright infringement yet?
Nah.
No?
Nah.
Okay.
But, this is Stephen Amell. You remember Stephen Amell?
I do.
Yeah. This is his show.
Gotcha.
You know, he did the wrestling thing, you know, a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, WrestleMania. I think he did something with AEW with Cody. So.
Yep, he did it. He did it in WWE with Stardust.
Oh, yeah, it was Stardust. My bad. Yep. Not Cody. Stardust.
Yep, not Cody. Stardust.
So, Andrade. So, first of all, they said Andrade is supposed to be wrestling Alberto Del Patron, which a lot of people are like, why?
Interesting. I heard he issued a challenge to Kenny Omega, though.
I was getting to that.
Oh, my bad. I'm always jumping the gun on your news segment.
Yeah, so he challenged Kenny Omega for the Triple H Championship, and Kenny Omega, you know, sent back a response saying, I'm a busy guy. Let me take a pause. Oh,
that's so smug.
Yeah, so that's I'm hoping that happens, because I will definitely find a way to watch that.
I don't know, man. Them AAA streams be heck of wonky, dude. So good luck. Even if you do find an alternative means, I don't know how strong that stream is going to be.
So Daniel Bryan was moved to the alumni section of the WWE website.
I guess he's going to take a little break here for a minute before he decides to show back up wherever he's going to show back up.
Oh, so a lot of people airing their grievances about this past Sunday's biography. Yeah, the Macho Man one. And they were airing their grievances about how it was portrayed on TV.
They didn't like that it went so dark, whereas in when they did the Stone Cold and his little dark mood, it was just kind of like, oh yeah, Steve can be difficult.
They said this one and Rowdy was like fluff pieces, and this one definitely was on some, like, was totally a left turn from what those other two were.
Right, but you can't tell the story of Macho Man Randy Savage without talking about his paranoia, though, and his That's the word to call it. I mean, just paranoia when it came to his women and his spot. And
he had smoke for Hogan.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That wasn't just a storyline. That was some real live smoke.
Oh yeah. They didn't like each other. They worked together to make money, but they didn't
like Sosa say, I'm a professional.
I know this isn't WWE centric, but are you going to tune in to AEW because they're going to have their version of the War Games tomorrow?
Well, we talk about AEW on it when we have stuff to talk about, but I may give it a watch. I may tune in and see what Blood and Guts is all about.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's
got more matches though. So it's not one match. They got more matches though. So
yeah. They got to actually QT Marshall's wrestling Cody. Britt Baker's going to be in action. So yeah, I got some other stuff on there. But you know, the whole last hour of the night is going to be for that Blood and Guts match.
So we watching WWE with Nexus debut.
I was not, dude. I missed it. I mean, I've gone back and seen what happened. Like, you know, when they came through, hit the ring, terrorized everybody. Daniel Bryan yoked my man up by the necktie. I mean, I've seen it 100 times.
Justin Roberts got yoked up, and I laughed so hard when I go back and I see that.
But I did not witness it as a, you know, one-off, oh, this is happening live on my TV.
Okay. So, one of those old stars, Michael Tarver.
Oh yeah, I remember. I've heard that name.
So Michael Tarver, he definitely been saying he definitely still has smoke for John Cena. Because if you look at those. The ones in Nexus before they when that first Nexus first debuted, and you saw who would have been like who could have been like you know superstars for real. Mm-hmm. Like Michael Tarver might have been one of them, but he got injured, and mm-hmm. So he always claims that John Cena buried him. Every time they do an interview with him, you always see the headline. Saying the former Nexus star says that they were buried by John Cena. And he's always talking about John Cena. And I was like, dude, you just couldn't cut it. I know you probably thought, you know, Nexus was a good thing. And I still hate Wade Barrett without the beard during that time. But whatever. You just didn't cut it. So you... And then it was like... Then it was like if we got cut from Nexus, you didn't go back to you didn't get cut from the company. You went back to whatever the developments was, OVW or something. Mm-hmm. You went back to FCW. FCW. You went back to FCW. That's what you did. You went back to FCW. But yeah. So he keeps saying John Cena buried him, and he's trying to. He's always just saying he makes a joke out of it, but so every time you see an interview with him, he's always talking about John Cena did this and John Cena did that.
Well, look here, man. John Cena kept my man JTG employed for as long as he was employed, so I don't have no ill will towards John Cena.
Yeah, man. Even though he was part of the reason he got fired the first time, but But that was their dumbness because they tried to do because of the ref, and it was Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch cut a rib on them, and they was unaware that the rib was being cut on them, so they went and attacked the referee because of it, and so they got fired after a house show for that shit. Mm-hmm. But Vince brought him back anyway, and yeah. Jerry Lawler was talking about they was on a vacation on the island, ran time away, and so Jim Ross was like, I think he said Cayman Islands. He said, no, I'm talking about Rikers.
Good old crime time, man.
All right, so that's all I got, because I'm going back and I'm just seeing. All
right, Shad Gaspar.
Yeah, Taya, Frankie Monet gives Shad Gaspar credit for helping her and her career and everything. So look at that.
Yeah, man. Everything goes around full circle, man.
It does. It does. It does. Yeah, so
that's all you got?
Yeah, because yeah. Oh shit.
You watching you seeing some NXT stuff? Some spoilers?
Yeah.
I'm staying away. Don't tell.
I'm saying I'm not even clicking on it. I just see the you know how you see the picture and the headline.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm staying away.
So you and Simi will have something to talk about. I'll just say that.
Oh yeah, man. I just want to just give my condolences to you, brother, for having the least interesting show to talk about each and every week. Because Simi and Jade have definitely gotten the better part of the reviews over the last month.
I have one more grievance to air.
Okay.
I don't know what's your problem with you and Spotify, but.
It's up there.
We don't get when we do the WrestleCast propers, don't get those episodes. We didn't get this week's Rawcast. Hold up, let me go see. And we didn't get NXT. We didn't get SmackDown, but we got
it should have been up there. I'll go back and double check, but I've been uploading them to the place where they need to go, so they show up on Spotify though.
I'm gonna send you to the moon, right with Cameron Rock. Yeah, I got the recent NXT, the NXT cast, and we didn't get this Sunday's SmackDown Matters, and the last Raw cast we got was April 20th.
Okay. I followed
the account on SoundCloud, so it's not a problem, but it's just okay. Like Spotify is my go-to guy. I just go there.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you've given me this because I'll go back and make sure. But yeah, I've been every week that I have to go to a different site, a different website than WordPress. But I always do it when I upload it to SoundCloud. I upload it to podcast.com at the same exact time. So it should hit Spotify and SoundCloud at like identical amounts of time. So I don't know why it's not showing up. Actually, test this on my own, because I got Spotify. I'm subscribed to my own podcast. Why not? Let's see what's going on here for myself. Oh, they updated Spotify. It looks different now. Let's see. The WrestleCast. Updated April 30th. Let's see what we got here. Let me flip through. Get to the top. Okay. Yeah, you're right. It did not put up the SmackDown Matters from this week. I'll go back and double check that and make sure that it's right. So thank you, sir, for the heads up. I'll be on that during the edits of this episode. Now, for us to get into this actual episode, hey, Jay to the Max, we almost burned 30 minutes this week. We beat our record from last week. Finally talking about Monday Night Raw, where earlier in the day, Adam Pearce flips a coin with MVP to decide who Lashley is going to face tonight. In comes Drew to tell MVP that he should be concerned because Drew is, of course, taking that title back. In comes Braun Strowman saying that Drew is so wrong. He will beat Lashley like he beat Drew last week. The big guys shout as MVP rubs his hands together. Pierce wants to flip a coin. Braun calls tails. Tails it is. So it's going to be Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley in tonight's main event. We start Raw off with AJ Styles and Amos coming out to remind us that they are the tag team champions. AJ gives Amos props for it being his first match ever. He wonders if we've missed them, if we were wondering where they were. AJ says they went to celebrate. They had better things to do than throw tomatoes like the New Day. Just ridiculous. AJ doesn't want to make New Day jealous, but they are here for only one reason. That's when the New Day interrupts and AJ compliments their outfits. Wood says they made a hell of an impact. Kofi wasn't even sure if they still worked here. Congrats on the time off. Great work ethic. Kofi says there is a reason why they are the 11-time champions. Every time they get knocked down, they pick themselves back up and win their titles back every time like clockwork. Omos has had enough. It seems like he didn't knock enough sense into them at Mania. So he says, come on in and get this work. So when they get ready to go to the commercial break before this and they're standing in the ring, you hear Omos being like, arms link, stay at arms link. He's like, no, my arms link, arms link, stay away, stay away, stay on your side. So that was pretty funny. So we get New Day versus AJ Styles and Omos, WWE Raw Tag Team Championship match. Woods eats a super kick in the chest from Omos, tagged to AJ. AJ gets on the shoulders of Omos and flies off with a phenomenal forearm to pin Xavier Woods for the 1-2-3, and your champs retain.
Did they really retain?
I mean, they won. They did kind of the same formula that they did at WrestleMania, where they let Omos carry the match. AJ kind of stand on the outside, gloat at every time Omos did something. Then AJ accidentally gets tagged in, gets worked over, and has to make another tag to Omos to kind of be the cleanup man. And then he finished it off with that phenomenal forearm.
He did that.
Yep. So backstage, Charlotte is with Sonya.
Hold on. Before we even skip back to backstage. So, what do you think about? Did you think could possibly be somewhat decent? I mean, he's a big guy, limited in the ring for what he can do and everything. He can't do flippy dudes and he won't catch him doing flying over the top rope, crashing to everybody on the floor. He's gonna take out that whole all probably that first row of the monitors of the
Thunderdome.
Yeah.
It'll be like a Black Thought line where he says, I jumped off the stage and the impact took out the first five rows. That would be almost.
I think
he's decent. I mean, he's in the ring with three guys who are going to make him look phenomenal. The New Day are going to bounce around like ping pong balls, and AJ is going to direct him and, put together a match for him that he can execute. And that's basically all you can ask when somebody's that green. Don't hurt anybody and just do the things that you can do. So he can clothesline people, he can choke slam people, he can slam people. So they just extenuate those strengths, and the more and more that he gets more comfortable with that, then I'm sure over time we'll see him expand and do some more things. Kind of like Braun, when Braun first started, Braun wasn't really doing much. Then all of a sudden he started doing drop kicks and all kinds of other stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, we see you.
But the guy who's the lead announcer of Raw, I forgot his name, he's going to ask, where do you rank almost among all-time champions? And right on beat, Corey Graves is like, we can't determine that right now. It's his first championship.
The tale of two announcers, Adnan Virk on Raw and Pat McAfee on SmackDown. The opinions are night and day. Everybody loves Pat McAfee. Nobody likes Adnan Virk.
Nope.
Everybody's like, man, give us Tom Phillips back. He's like, give us Tom Phillips and Samoa Joe. It's like, you clipped both of them for Adnan Virk? No good.
All right, let's go backstage now.
Okay, backstage, Charlotte is with Sonya, wearing all red. Here comes Adam Pearce to get things straight. He says that Sonya Deville is overstepping her bounds lately. What you think?
I don't know. Adam Pearce better watch it. Lily might come and fuck him up.
And then the highlight of the night for this guy, an Eva Marie vignette. with her laying on top of a Porsche. She's asking me if she has my attention. I'm like, yes, you do. And she tells me that the evolution is coming soon.
Okay, so we've seen a lot of this thing from in our hashtag and all across the WWE, the Raw hashtag about people saying, uttering their disappointment that Eva Marie is back. And technically, she might have been back for a minute because it was long rumored that she had signed with the company like 6 months ago, but they didn't have anything for her. So all of a sudden, you know, they did their releases and everything. And next thing you know, a week or two later, look who pops up the vignette. Talking about that evolution.
Y'all mad?
Because you couldn't get evolution to work. So they trying to get with Eva because Eva was supposed to be doing this on SmackDown, but haha, somebody got wellness violation. Haha, somebody got released.
Y'all sound like y'all mad.
Hey man, I'm just saying.
Rejoice, you know, in the greatness that is.
I'm sure Jay and what you just said, they're gonna roll their eyes.
Madame Lizette. Yep, all of them. Yep.
All the ladies, all of our wonderful ladies who listen to the show. Hi, Miss B. You're awesome, even though you work for the twins. They're probably rolling their eyes in disgust because you sitting up here.
Well, I've never mixed any words when it comes to Eva Marie. She's always been one of my fave. Now, what would really be the shit is if they could bring Cameron back. And then I would just be ecstatic.
Oh, no. No.
But, you know, no. I'm not trying to ask for too much too soon.
No. You know what? We got one headache, one rest, one headache, one car crash. We don't need a pileup. No. Keep Cameron far away from the WWE. I remember she probably AEW for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, she had like a little match there in AEW, maybe two.
Had a cup of coffee today, and
yeah, but I am looking forward to Eva Marie joining the Raw Women's Division. Sorry that you know Mickie James, Peyton Royce,
Peyton Royce is your girl too.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just sorry. All of them had to die so Eva Marie could live. I'm sorry.
The opinions of that, as of Don Delarente, you can add him on Twitter at Don Delarente or at WrestleCast.
The good thing about it is most people don't know how to spell Delarente, so they'll probably find on WrestleCast.
If you follow me. You'll see him at me a couple of times. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Philip is mentioned with hate.
Yes, I am the one Eva Marie stan. Yes, I was like, oh my gosh, look who is on my TV screen. Hush, Eva Marie is talking.
And everybody else was like, why?
Everybody else was just in the timeline, just moaning and groaning. I was the only one cheering.
They're like, why is she here?
Because she was getting she was right on the cusp when she got that wellness violation.
Yeah, because they were giving her a push.
Yeah, they were. And
she really get a push on SmackDown, and the next thing you know, wellness violation, and she never recovered, but now she's back.
Yep. MVP and Lashley are with Miss Kayla Braxton. She's on Monday Night Raw. As Mota_Reese told us, Kevin Patrick's wife was having a baby, so Kayla was filling in doing double duty. MVP says it doesn't matter if it's Drew or Braun because they don't compare. Both of them are ferocious forces of nature, but says Lashley, he is more ferocious. He's a freak of nature. And this title, they will have to pry it out of his dead cold hands. He says he doesn't like their odds because he can lose without being pinned, and he won't let that happen. MVP ends the promo by saying the Strowman Express will be derailed. MVP got a hell of a lot of promo time on this show.
He did. He was instigating in the open segment. He's doing a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of MVP. Backstage, the trainers are checking on Kofi and Xavier Woods. Elias is nearby with Jackson Riker. They have their own basket of tomatoes this week. He noticed the trainers leaving the side of Kofi and Woods, and he starts tossing the tomatoes, but then they stop abruptly because Randy Orton walks by and he gets hit with the tomato, and that's when Riddle scoots on by as Randy is seething at Elias and Jackson Riker.
That was just so funny. He gets hit and then he just stops. I mean, he looks, you see Randy just sitting up there like looking disgusted, and then you just see Riddle just riding past. He said, "What did he say? Hey, Randy," or some shit like that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Sonya Deville, Charlotte Flair versus Dana Brooke. Sorry, got to get to this little matchup here first. They recap how, you know, Dana Brooke was like underneath the wing of Charlotte Flair at one time, many moons ago. And so they bring that back up, and then we proceed to start the match, and Charlotte Flair is out here acting like Pippin Ken, mushing Dana Brooke in the face, and then tells her, "You still my bitch." Like, oh, okay. So Dana goes to the top rope, Swanton Bomb, cover for a two count. Only gets two, though. Dana tries for another springboard, but Charlotte clips the leg. She goes into the figure four, bridges into the figure eight, and Dana Brooke has to tap. Charlotte won't release the hold, so Mandy Rose runs in and attacks Charlotte, and she ends up hitting her with that running knee that Mandy does. Mandy Rose and all this black leather and these boots. Mm-hmm, that's quite a look for her. So after that, Mandy and Dana, they leave the ring, but Charlotte is still here, and Sonya Deville comes out. Charlotte talks about how glad she is to be back. However, she needs to be added to the WrestleMania Backlash title match because she is a big star. Putting her in the title match is going to make it a bigger deal because she is a big deal. She is an influencer, and whether you love her or hate her, the division needs her. Charlotte tells Sonya to be fair to Flair, which is always great, which is enough to get Sonya to add her to the title match. I swear, man, goddamn Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce are like the genie in Aladdin. Whatever you ask for.
Maybe it's just the show.
Did they tell anybody no? That's my deal. Besides the Street Profits. Still, the only people who have heard a no are the Street Profits. I don't like it.
They're not going to tell a certain head of the table, tribal chief, no.
And yeah, that's another thing I'm about to bring up too in a minute. Rhea Ripley comes out to say that this is nonsense and Charlotte shouldn't be in the title match again for obvious reasons. Nobody likes her. Ripley and Asuka have a purpose in the match, but adding Charlotte is unfair. Asuka comes out next to say that she's ready for both of them. Charlotte promises to win the title, but Ripley gets in Charlotte's face. Charlotte jumps Rhea from behind, and the fight is on, with Asuka clearing the ring of both of them. Your thoughts, sir?
Things happen. Things happen. They was laughing at how Asuka threw Charlotte out the ring.
Yeah. Humberto Carrillo talks about standing up to Sheamus because he is tired of Sheamus just bullying everyone. He is going to answer every one of Sheamus's open challenges. And then here's Sheamus to jump Humberto Carrillo from behind. He throws him into all of the stuff they have backstage, leaves him laying. Sheamus says Carrillo won't be answering the open challenge for tonight. Now we have Adam Pearce yelling at Sonya Deville over adding Charlotte to the match. Sonya says she sent him a text, but Pearce was like, he didn't get it. He also didn't get why it was a text when they share an office. Sonya agrees and says that they'll make decisions together from now on. Now, this doesn't look good because Adam Pearce has never raised his voice at any of the dudes that have been far worse to him than Sonya Deville, not consulting him on this decision to add Charlotte to the match, but yet he raised his voice at her. I ain't like that. Give me that same energy on Friday when Roman got you, you know, backed up.
Hemmed up.
Hemmed up. Give me that same energy. Don't be, you know, yelling at the woman, but then don't be, you know, using that same base against the guys. Mm-mm. That's no good. Miz and Morrison are here. The Miz is talking about how ridiculous it was to have Rotten Tomatoes thrown at them last week. He lists off his resume and says how horrible it was last week to be shown so little respect. Morrison gets cut off as Miz keeps ranting, but eventually Morrison gets in some respect from Aretha Franklin. Tonight, it's Morrison's turn for some respect as he's going to face Damian Priest. So John Morrison versus Damian Priest. A Miz distraction lets Morrison grab a Spanish Fly for a near fall. Another Miz distraction makes the referee miss a small package by Morrison. That's when Damian Priest hits the lights and Damian Priest gets the win. How do you feel after 2 months on the main roster they're using Damian Priest?
Wow. I guess he came there and did what he was supposed to do to get Bad Bunny over, so I'll say that, but at least he's not running around on main event.
Do you want to bring that up before we move along? The greatest match nobody saw, apparently, between Mustafa Ali and Ricochet?
I guess they ran it back this week, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And nobody saw it again. They ain't put it on Raw. I didn't see it.
Because it's on main event.
That's on. My point exactly.
Yeah, Hulu subscription, you can watch it there.
My point exactly. That's the reason why I busted out in laughter last week.
Also, another former champion returned to main event.
Who would that be, sir?
Don't handle gender.
Oh, a word?
Mm-hmm. And he showed up with
Mansoor?
No, Mansoor is later on in the show. Don't play.
The other. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I know exactly who you're talking about. I can't think of his name, though. Indushir? Those guys?
Yeah, it's two guys, yeah.
Yeah. The guys that Malcolm Bivens was managing before he wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't. I thought he still was, but he probably was just, that was one thing. There could be a main roster call up for him because he was managing somebody in NXT.
Tyler Rust is who he was managing. Yeah. But we haven't seen him in a while.
Right, because he was popping up and he was doing the whole he was being a basketball player. Now, he was just talking about you can wrestle? So you can wrestle my man then.
Yeah, ear hustling in the training room. Seeing who is like who's banged up, not like 100%, but good enough to wrestle.
Right. He can wrestle? Yeah, okay, good. You're a faithful man then.
Right. Over on the other channel, Jade Cargill is currently looking for a manager, or people are trying to manage Jade Cargill is the way that they're positioning it. It would be so cool if it was Malcolm Bivens showed up to become her manager. But that's not gonna happen.
It ain't.
But still, though, yeah. Apparently, Ricochet and Mustafa Ali had this banger of a match on main event. If you have access to main event, I guess you can go seek it out and watch it. Tell me how it was, because I'm not I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to see it. Mansoor officially assigns with Monday Night Raw when Sheamus comes in. Since there is no Humberto Carrillo tonight, he's going to need someone to accept the challenge. But first, he needs to congratulate Adam Pearce for hiring a new assistant. Mansoor corrects him and says he's a Raw superstar just like Sheamus. That sounds like fun to Sheamus, so maybe Mansoor can accept his open challenge tonight. Then he says taking a bro kick could be a great way to let the people get to know him. Sheamus leaves, and Mansoor seems very interested. MVP doesn't like that Braun Strowman is a part of the WrestleMania Backlash main event. He sees similarities between Strowman and Drew McIntyre and thinks they might even team up against Bobby Lashley. That's cool, though, and tonight will be a preview of the Triple Threat match. Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander versus Lucha House Party joined in progress.
Wow, man, and both these teams knowing that Omos and AJ Styles, Raw Tag Team Champions, are in the house, and you could potentially work your way to a title opportunity with a victory.
But if you're Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, you're looking for something to reignite the spark. They haven't exactly had much success over the past several weeks, particularly since losing their Raw Tag Team titles.
Yeah, post-hurt fitness life has been pretty challenging for Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. Cover here by Metal League. Kick out on two. Eight.
Cedric Alexander to continue the onslaught of punishment.
I like this. This is what we haven't seen in weeks from both Alexander and Benjamin. This next level aggression, the ruthlessness.
Like a pit bull mauling-like mentality
by Cedric Alexander. Metalik trying to give himself a chance here. Wow. Face first goes Alexander.
Metalik desperately needs to make a tag to the Golden Lynx. Lindsay Dorado waiting on the outside.
Here we go. Dorado and Shelton Benjamin now.
Now Lindsay Dorado taking it to Benjamin. We're trying to.
What a clothesline.
That's it. That has got to be it.
Woo. Dorado showing the wherewithal to stay alive.
Oh. I believe Lindsay was looking to turn it into a Hurricane Rana, but Shelton a step ahead.
Lindsay calling an audible here, perhaps looking for a DDT, but Benjamin just too strong.
Shelton not going to get any style points for that, but might get a cover
here.
Barely able to kick out of that predicament was Lindsay Dorado. Shelton Benjamin just having his way with Dorado.
And as you guys mentioned, Alexander Benjamin, some struggles lately. How big of a win like this tonight be, Corey, to help their confidence?
Oh, this time it counts.
Well, let's ask if they get the win first.
Lindsay Dorado able to execute that tornado DDT. Here comes Alexander. There goes Alexander.
Dump to the outside. Tag is made. Grand Metalik now the legal member of Lucha House Party.
The crossbody splash.
The king of the ropes in position.
Watch this.
The rope walk elbow.
Right to the hard cover on Benjamin.
Yeah.
Oh, get the party going with Lucha House Party.
Here are your winners. Lucha House Party.
It's time to get Lucha Lit, boys. A Lucha House Party with a major statement.
And what happens next is some bullshit.
It was disrespectful that this match was joined in progress.
You already knew that, so I'm saying some shit was going down.
Post-match, Cedric grabs the mic and says he's sick of this losing. He and Shelton were the tag team champions, and then they got fired by the Hurt Business. Actually, scratch that. As Shelton was the one who got fired. How long has Shelton been here, and how many chances has he blown? Cedric is in the prime of his career, and he is tired of carrying Shelton. So this team is done. This was the actual promo I was looking for to use for this week's parting promo, but guess what? It's not on YouTube.
Man, go looking for it on Twitter.
I got something in mind. I found something.
Big Swole for Cedric.
Huh?
Big Swole wrote this for Cedric. and Cedric stole the big piece of chicken from Shelton and catering.
Yeah, very unfortunate circumstances with these two guys, man. A tag team who didn't need to be broken up for any reason. Two guys who should still be a part of the Hurt Business, who should still be, you know, wearing all the gold and running Monday Night Raw as it's currently constituted. But that would be too much like good booking and good writing. You know, we can't have nice things on this show. Drew Gulak interrupts Angel Garza from delivering a rose and accuses him of not being much of a ladies' man. So a match is made with Gulak promising to come out smelling like roses. Garza promises to shove the rose up Gulak's ass. Foreshadowing. Shelton Benjamin cuts a promo. He says he isn't happy with Cedric Alexander breaking up the team. Cedric was in the Hurt Business because Shelton saw something in him. But if Cedric wants to walk away, he's a grown man. If Cedric doesn't want to learn from him, that's his decision.
Told you.
No more soaking up the game from Cedric Alexander.
I think he probably thinks he has enough game soaked up already.
Maybe. Drew Gulak versus Angel Garza. Garza hits a running clothesline, followed by the wing clipper for the pin and the win. After the match, Garza actually stuffs the rose down the back of Gulak's tights and then kicks him in the ass.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that happened on Monday Night Raw.
Yes, it really did. I mean, at least Angel Garza is a man of his word. I mean, can't, you know, that's got to be respected. It's got to be worth something. Matt Riddle runs into the Viking Raiders and asks if they're Raiders or Vikings fans. Ivar explains the concept of the team, so Riddle scooters on and runs into Randy Orton, who isn't interested. Riddle says they're metaphorical bros, and Orton begrudgingly asks him to be his partner again tonight. That's cool with Riddle, who is very excited, until Orton tells him to zip it.
Before then, I forgot which one it was. They said they were Bears fans, so shout out to Jay. So that should make Jay to the Max happy.
I thought he said he was a Browns fan. I thought Eric said he was.
It was a Browns fan. He did say Browns fan. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Browns. So he said Bears. We said Browns, and he was like, he wasn't expecting that. And then, Pete Dunne sent out a tweet to Randy Orton telling him to hurry up and get away from him quickly. And they showed a picture of them at NXT as the Brozaways.
RK-Bro versus Jackson, Ryker, and Elias. Everything breaks down, and Elias gets dropped onto the announcer's table by Randy Orton. The backbreaker connects back inside, and it's the hanging DDT into the floating bro, with Riddle giving Elias a concussion because he landed right on his head. And Orton takes out Ryker with an RKO as Riddle pins Elias. And RK-Bro gets their second win in a row on Monday Night Raw. I really hope Elias is okay, though, because Riddle came down right on his head.
They get another win together. That's called a winning streak.
Drew McIntyre doesn't care who wins between Braun and Bobby Lashley because he wants them to beat each other up. He isn't worried about Mace and T-Bar either because it's all about Claymoring Strowman or Lashley and getting his title back. Strowman comes in and they exchange some trash talk as they've been doing for the past couple of weeks. Are you...
You have seen Mace and T-Bar?
No, not since a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, that was just me.
Are you intrigued? Are you entertained? Are you looking forward to anything about this triple threat? Drew, Bobby, and Strowman?
No.
It's been too many triple threats lately. Like, can we just get some one-on-one singles action, please?
Why? Somebody got threesomes fetish. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Threesomes fetish.
Mansoor versus Sheamus. There's an enziguri into a tornado DDT for a two on Sheamus. Sheamus comes right back with the white noise. Mansoor is put into the corner, but here's Humberto Carrillo to jump Sheamus for the disqualification. But Sheamus ends up wiping them both out with brogue kicks after the match. Or as Adnan Virk described them, pump kicks.
And yeah, this is why we want Tom Phillips back on Monday Night Raw. Tomorrow, Joe T.
It's time for Alexa's Playground with Alexa Bliss talking about Lily possibly killing people from time to time. A certain someone may have caught her eye, but that's their dirty little secret. Don't blame her for what happens next. Bliss sings to Lily, but then seems to be scared of what Lily might have done. Where is Bray Wyatt? Why is that on this show?
I have no clue. Why? He says he came back and brought back the Firefly Funhouse.
Yes, and why has Alexa Bliss gotten more airtime with her Dollar General version of the gimmick than the originator himself?
I have no idea, sir.
Bray Wyatt is going to go down as the most coulda, shoulda been superstar of this generation.
True.
Lana and Naomi versus Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax for the women's tag team titles. The double X factor plants Shayna Baszler. Naomi gets pulled out of the ring to the floor, and Reginald offers a distraction so Lana can only get a two count. That's when Shayna locks in the Karafuta clutch and makes Lana tap out, and so the champions retain over Lana and Naomi. Boo,
you say?
Yes, boo. I'm for the love of anything that's good, why do y'all keep, I understand why Lana keeps getting the losses, but why do y'all keep dragging Naomi down with it too? I just don't get it. Like, come on, she is a star. She deserves to be back into Naomi. If she's not going to win the tag team titles, they need to break her out of the tag team and get her back in the singles. That's how I feel about it. Now, if they're going to win the tag team titles, I got no problem with Lana and Naomi being a tag team because they actually have really good chemistry. They've worked to develop themselves and become a, you know, viable tag team. So I don't have a problem with that combination being the champions. I do have a problem with them losing and Naomi getting dragged down by the losing. No, that's no good.
Bring it to the floor.
Yeah, if you don't do like a fist pump or don't do a little two-step when Naomi music hits, then me and you just don't be watching wrestling the same.
Exactly.
Bobby Lashley versus Braun Strowman. It's our main event of the evening. MVP promises that Bobby Lashley will win tonight. Lashley slips out of the running power slam. The Hurt Lock is blocked, and Strowman hits a sidewalk slam. They head outside when the Strowman Express accidentally runs over Drew McIntyre by mistake. McIntyre gets up on the apron, and the distraction allows Bobby Lashley to hit the spear, pin Braun Strowman and get the win. And then afterwards, Drew comes in with the Claymore to both guys to stand tall.
Well, that's what happened. I fell asleep.
Yeah, that was Monday Night Raw. Yeah, that's what happened. I'm going to say this. This was a slight improvement from over the last 2 months. We saw some new blood, saw some Mansoor, saw Drew Gulak. Humberto is here, so we're trying to incorporate some new faces into the mix. I thought that the interaction between Asuka, Charlotte, Rhea, and Sonya Deville was pretty good in that promo. I liked Mandy Rose and Charlotte. I still think that there could be a really good feud there between those two. the RK Bro thing is starting to grow on me. Damian Priest needs to find him a real opponent, some real opponents, so he can get into a top-notch feud. AJ and Amos and New Day was a very good match to open up things. So, I mean, it wasn't a home run by any stretch of the imagination. But compared to what it has been, yes, this show was about a 6.5 to a 7.
Oh.
Do you you think a little bit less than that should be the grade? Oh yeah, this is the show of diminishing returns for sure when it comes to having to the time that it takes to consume this versus the enjoyment that you get out of it is definitely not matching up.
It ain't.
I mean, SmackDown was on for like 6 minutes on Friday and I was like, oh yeah, that right there was way better than all the Monday Night Raw. So at this time, Mo, I guess I'm going to turn it over to you for your shout outs and thank yous, because you seem like you don't have anything else that you really want to add to this episode.
Not at all, but shout out to New Dawn. We made it through another week of talking about this show. Shout out to Simi, because Simi gets a good product on Wednesdays that she can review. And shout out to Terry's Boy and Anwar, because they get a good international product they can review. Shout out to Jay to the Max, because she gets a good product that she can review on Sundays. Me, I get to sit on Monday nights and just be like, why am I here? Oh, shout out to the Ravens for having a great draft over the weekend.
Man, y'all got that Wallace kid from Oklahoma State in like the fourth round or something ridiculous. That kid is going to be a baller for y'all. Just mark my words.
I hope so.
Oh, man.
One thing I try, you know, looking at college football, I don't know how y'all can sit there and keep up with all of these star athletes and with all these different colleges playing everything.
No. It's a labor of love, man. And plus, you know, some of these kids, they just stick out. Like, you watch a game, a random, because I'm the type of guy where if it's football, I'll probably watch at least a quarter of it, no matter who's playing. And, I mean, the kid just makes plays. He's kind of small, but nobody outbattled him for the ball. And I watched, like, 4 Oklahoma State games over the season, and he was the best receiver on the field. The kid is really, really good. So y'all got a good one in that kid. He's a low draft pick. So, you know what I'm saying? That will turn out to help y'all when it comes to negotiating.
Contract. Definitely. Cause he turned out to be good and he turned out to be a star. They were like, well, you know.
Yeah.
You were a low draft pick.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's going to happen. But then at the end, if he turned out to be really good, somebody going to back up the Brinks truck and say, come play for us.
Yeah, but if Lamar is improving as a quarterback, sometimes it would be just advantageous to take the deal and stay where you are.
Yeah, but we'll see. You know, he might be on. He might be on the special teams, and you know, he might be on third down situations. But you know, you break out.
Oh, he's going to be half a season, which will be 9 games this year, because we're playing 17, not 16. But after 9 games, he's going to be the best receiver on y'all's team. I said that on May the 4th at 11:08 p.m.
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, 11:08 p.m. So we'll revisit this sometime in October or November.
Yeah,
shout out to Sasha Banks for, you know, celebrating May the 4th. You know, she's got Star Wars action figures. She's doing tornado DDTs to Boba Fett on the Mandalorian. So big up to her on today. You think she's shooting? Is that why she's not been on TV? You think she's doing the show right now?
From what I saw, it's they hold her off on TV because they want to build up Bianca and Bailey, and then Sasha in the mix. So
So our triple threat, is coming.
Probably
not for WrestleMania Backlash, which is a stupid name for a pay-per-view, but we've got plenty of stupid names for pay-per-views over the years. I just think it might just run it back, you know, after the, like, in the summer or something like that. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my personal thing would be the triple threat, Bailey, Bianca, Sasha, SummerSlam. But that's a long way to get. That's a long way to hold that off.
Unless a certain person cause a reckoning and move over with their move to SmackDown, and it might be like, you know what? I want to try out the title.
Hmm.
And she's going to look at Pike and say, I want you to put me on Ross to win.
Anything else in your shout outs and thank you, sir?
Shout out to everybody who did the hashtag with us putting up with this BS, you know. But it's going to be a lot more hate that he. It's going to be a lot more heat because Eva Marie's back, and they're going to be like, that's going to be nuclear heat for her on the timeline because they don't have no real fans over the dome.
Yeah, and plus the Rawcast live tweet is I seem to be Eva Marie's biggest fan in that area of fandom. So, you know, I'm gonna be the only voice screaming at the top of my lungs for her.
He challenged Shogun when he sees Charlotte Flair on TV.
Yeah, basically that's how I am for Eva Marie. Yeah. Well, I'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Mo to the underscore East for once again going through the 3 hours of watching Monday Night Raw and then coming here and talking with me about it. Greatly appreciate his time. Thank you to Miss Simi, J to the Max, Miss Didi Jonay, Sam, Greg, Classic, Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to Jupiter Julep and Madame Lizette and Was Sleep Though. I'm pretty sure they will be eye rolling and head shaking at all of the Eva Marie commentary from earlier in the program. Give a big shout out to Cammy D and Anisi and Miss Laura Singh and all of the Wrestle Bays and all the members of the Glow. We definitely appreciate you. Thank you to everybody who uses the hashtag Rawcast each and every Monday night to share their commentary with color with us as we, you know, proceed to try to give you what you need here on the Rawcast to fill you in if you are not watching the 3 hours of Drek that has become Monday Night Raw. Shout out to Roman Reigns for kicking Daniel Bryan off the island. That was a very great match on Friday Night SmackDown. I hope everybody enjoyed it, and the tweets were great as well. Tune in tomorrow, as in Wednesday, hashtag DynamiteCast, AEW Blood and Guts. That should be pretty interesting as well. Big shout out to Anwar Starwin and Terry's Boy. Cast of Strong Style will be coming out with a episode about wrestling Dantaku at some point. They had a two-night event, so we got two nights to review. First night, saw a ladder match between Tama Tonga and Taichi for the Iron Fingers. If you're a New Japan fan, long-time New Japan fan, you know exactly what the Iron Fingers are. And then Tanahashi and Jay White had a match for Tanahashi's Never Openweight title. And then on night two, we have my man Yo going up against El Desperado for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. And we had Will Ospreay in his first title defense at the IWGP Heavyweight title going against Shingo Takagi. So should be very, very good semi and main events for that episode, and I've got to watch that still, so looking forward to that. Thank you to Dwayne, who helped me record I Know the Score on the NFL draft. So big ups to him. That show actually will be dropping shortly because I've got to go edit that in the lab and put that out. And just shout out to everybody who listens to all the episodes here on the CSPN. Shout out to the guys over at the Comic Book Chronicles for all the work that they put in each and every week as well. So we greatly appreciate it. Check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Become a new Patreon member. Get the exclusive content that can only be found on Patreon. You'll get candid conversations between me and Mo to the underscore Reese as we talk a lot of music on this week's edition of The Dark Match. You'll also hear me and Miss Simi review AEW Dynamite each and every week. And you'll also hear a bunch of other randomness that comes out of the CSPN and the WrestleCast as well. So please go over to the Patreon page, become a member. Also, support the podcast by keeping our podcast free, by shopping with our sponsors. You've got less than a week to find something for your mom. Hopefully, you got Amazon Prime. You can get it in 2 days. When you click on the tab that says keep our podcast free, click on the Amazon tab. Do some shopping through Amazon to help the CSPN keep the network free. And each and every show in your download queue is free as well. So,
One more thing we go. So it looks like Twitter officially rolled out the Twitter Spaces.
I just tried it. It didn't work.
Oh, damn. I have it on mine. So
I have the Spaces, but it doesn't go past connecting. It just doesn't. It does connecting and it just spins and spins and spins and spins and spins.
Okay. Well, I'll say next Monday, we'll try it on the Rawcast. We'll see if we can get it working then. If we can get it working then, we'll do it then. We'll try it then.
We definitely will, but I don't know. You may have to start it on.
I'll do it on mine and see if it works for me.
Yeah, there you go. Because I see the little icon here, and I see people are actually having a space right now, but I can't start my own, so it's no good to me.
All right, well, we'll try it on. I'll try it on Monday with mine, and if it works, then we'll just do it from there.
All right. I'm looking forward to that because I want to try to do some interesting things with this Twitter Spaces. I think we could do some fun stuff, a lot more interactive things with that as well. So definitely we'll be looking forward to hopefully see that working next week. So for my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been The Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
What's up, girl?
Hello.
Hello.
Microphones are a thing.
They are.
Welcome to Raw Talk. I would imagine that you're a little irked after what we saw happen on Monday Night Raw. So let's just kind of get right back into it. We now know that Charlotte Flair is going to be added or has been added to your WrestleMania Backlash match. It is now a triple threat match.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Asuka, Rhea Ripley, and Charlotte Flair. So I do want to kind of give you the floor here for a minute if you want to expand on how you clearly felt out there tonight.
I don't really know how to describe how I feel about this circumstance, but I know that I'm really mad about it.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Charlotte seems to work her way into my life at every opportunity. She's mad because she didn't get to go to WrestleMania, and I understand that. WrestleMania is the greatest stage of them all, and you want to be there.
Yeah.
But what Charlotte doesn't realize is that, I've said it before, there's a new era of females coming through. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't have to leave, like Bianca says, but she's got to move over, and that's where she had to move over. Because I'm taking my opportunities, and I'm taking the stage. And I know that she's salty about it, and that's why she attacked Eddie, the referee. Because she's mad. She's mad at life. She's upset because she's not getting what she wants.
Yeah, I feel that.
And do we think that maybe Okay, so we gotta talk about Sonya though. Like, I'm gonna get here first. Because, okay, so would you say that Sonya Deville's been a little bit reckless, I guess would be the word, the last couple of weeks, especially as it pertains to Charlotte Flair?
She's the boss, though.
She is, but she's the one who is making all this happen.
Yeah, damn straight. Reckless. Reckless is the perfect word.
Oh.
Sonya's not thinking. She's just acting. I don't know if Charlotte's talking to her on the side, slipping her some money since she is the queen. I don't know. But Sonya's been handing Charlotte everything that she wants, and I don't agree with that. I don't agree with it at all. If you put your hands on a referee, that's not how this works here. Like, you get suspended, you get fined. To see her come back the next week, like, that angers me.
Well, she said she was just helping out. Like, she opened the door, let her in. So we all make mistakes, right?
Wait, are you justifying?
I'm not justifying nothing, please. I'm just trying to speak on, like, we had Sonya on here, and Sonya said she was just making an executive decision to take charge and make something happen and help everybody out. So I don't...
So if you just see, like, a burglar outside your door, you're just going to open it and let him in, let him do whatever the hell he wants?
Hell no, not me.
Exactly! And that's what Charlotte's doing. She's coming here and she's trying to rob me of things that I deserve. She's trying to steal this from me. She's trying to steal my Raw Women's Championship. And I'm not going to let that happen.